And we are going to be looking at many scriptures, but our text is going to be out of Proverbs chapter 18 today, and I'm going to be preaching on something that gets you in a lot of trouble. Everybody's thinking of their husband, or maybe their kids, or maybe their car. Amen. What is it that's always getting us in trouble? Now, I've entitled this message, The Fruits of Your Lips. But we could say the fruit of your mouth, or we could say the fruit of your tongue. Any one of those would be sufficient. We're going to be talking about our words today. The Bible, well, New Year's, when we think about New Year's is known, unfortunately, in the world for many different things, but one thing that we know about New Year's, it is a time of resolutions, people making resolutions. And I'm not against people making resolutions. I think they're found in the Bible. And if you want to make a resolution at New Year's, you can make a resolution. And I honestly believe that the reason why people make New Year's resolutions is because of all the food that they eat at Christmas time. Amen. Who's with me on that one? Come on. Yeah. I resolved not to eat as much as I did during Christmas, and we've got to pay off all the credit. I resolved not to spend any money. Well, you don't have any money to spend after Christmas, amen. You got to save it all up. You got to pay back all of the credit cards and all the different things. People will make resolutions. People will say words, and really, that's what a resolution is. Resolution is nothing more than words. It's a vow. I think the best New Year's verse is found in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1. The Bible says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." And, you know, that is a simple fact of life. We think about the year, and we think about New Year's, and we think about another year, when we can plan things out and hope to accomplish certain things in a year. But the bottom line is, none of us have any idea what tomorrow is going to bring forth. You know, none of us here this morning know whether we're going to end up in the doctor's office this month, being told that we're full of cancer. Or maybe a loved one, or maybe a family member, we don't know what's going to happen. And most of us, or maybe some of us, have felt the crunch in December with the stock markets. Who would have thought? You know, of course, we've always got the December downturn in the stock markets, but this year it's been bad. It's been really bad. A lot of people who spent a lot of money in Christmas gifts and Christmas things are wondering, if the stock markets don't recover, you know, which everybody probably figures they will in the short term, but, you know, people have lost millions, billions of dollars in this month alone. And, you know, again, none of us know what's going to happen tomorrow. James chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, the Bible says, "Come now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the next day. For what is your life?" What is your life? That's a great question. The Bible says, "It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." You know, the older I get, the more I realize that, you know, that old, now I'm going to ask you this question. How old is old? 80, 90, 100? What's old? 40? Amen? 30? When I was 16, 25 was old. Now to me, old is 100. Right? You're 100, you're old. But you stop and think about 100 years is nothing. It's nothing. And when we think about, you know, I love history. I read a lot about history. I enjoy history. And I look back at all of these things that happened in the past, and when you stop and think about it, it wasn't that long ago. You know, we look at even World War II, and it wasn't that long ago. The Great War wasn't that long ago. Canada becoming a country wasn't that long ago. All of these things in the past, 1,000 years, 2,000 years, when we stop and consider eternity, what is 100 years? What is one generation? What is our life? The Bible says that our life is a vapor. It is gone so quickly. It's gone so quickly. And none of us know. None of us can know. We can try our best to determine what may happen this year, what our life is going to be like this year, what our plans, our aspirations are for this year, or even tomorrow. But you know, again, our plans for tomorrow may be dashed today. And before we know it, our life is over. The Bible says that by our words, when we think about that little here in James, that little time it says that we have, it's just a little time. It appeareth for a little time. The Bible says that in that little time, that we are going to be either condemned or we are going to be justified by our words. And our words, whether I ended up here because I was thinking about oaths and taking vows and New Year's resolutions, they're words, they're oaths. You know, accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior is an oath. It's a resolution. Committing yourself to Him and trusting Him and giving yourself over to Him is an oath of loyalty and belief and trust. And somewhere in this little life that we have, we've got to realize that one of the most powerful, and whenever I talk on this subject, I can't say enough or emphasize this point. And that is, we sometimes don't really understand the power of our words. I think sometimes I think people think that because they're not really well spoken, or maybe, you know, they're not the type to be able to come up and to speak in public, or they're shy, or nobody really thinks they're very important, that they've got to use more forceful words, or they've got to use harsher words or harder words to get their point across, or whatever it may be. But no matter who you are, your words are powerful. Words are one of the most powerful things known to man. And may we learn to control our words. There was an epitaph. It was on a windswept hill in England, in an England countryside, an old churchyard there, an old tattered church in a drab old gray cemetery. And on one of those gray slabs of marble or granite, in that cemetery, one tombstone, if you got down on your knees and you looked real hard at it, you could read the epitaph on it. And the etching read this: beneath this stone and a lump of clay lies Arabella Young, who on the 24th of May began to hold her tongue. Let's not wait until then, amen, to be able to hold our tongue. Proverbs chapter 18, verses 20 and 21, the Bible says this: a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we once again thank you for this opportunity to be here this morning. And as we consider this little member, this tiny organ that's in our mouth and what it can do. The destructive power, the power that it has to give life and the power that it has to give death. May we understand today the importance of our words. So, Father, bless our time together. We'll thank you and we'll praise you in Jesus' name and amen. There was an old sage, an old Greek sage by the name of Publius. And he said this, "I often regretted my speech, but I've never regretted my silence." The Bible has a lot to say about many words, you know. And the bottom line is, the more you say, the more chances you have of incriminating yourself. The more you say, the more chance you have of saying something wrong. The less we say, the less we are going to be wrong. The less we are going to incriminate ourselves. The first thing I want us to notice, though, in our text here is this satisfaction. The Bible says in Proverbs 18 and verse 20 that a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. And I want us to consider this verse for a moment here. The Bible says a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. Now, many times in life, we've said things that we wish we didn't. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, because I think if we were all honest, all of our hands would be up. If we were to say, "I have said things that I wish I could have taken back." Once those words leave our lips, the Bible says that they're sent off, and you know, sometimes we, you know, and many times I've said something and instantly realize, you know, that I should not have said that. And, you know, those words are going out and I wish I could run in front of them and I could stop them and, you know, push them back over here and maybe deflect them away. But you know what? I can't go as fast as the speed of sound. They've reached the ears of the person I've said it to before I've got a chance to bring them back. You can't bring them back. And you know, those words that you've said, as much as you would like to, maybe you've apologized, or maybe you've said, you know, "I really shouldn't have said that," but it doesn't matter. Those words are said, and they resound in the mind of the hearer forever and forever and forever. And the Bible says, though, it gives us an interesting principle here. The Bible says that our bellies are going to be, or can be, satisfied with the fruit of our lips. In other words, what the Bible's saying there is that you will get those words back. They're going to come back to you. No matter what we say, all of our words and all of the things that we say are going to come back, and they're going to satisfy, and hopefully satisfy, our belly. In other words, you know, you've heard about eating your words. You're going to eat your words. We are going to eat them all. Amen? We are going to eat them all. And every word that we say, we're going to eat them. And you know, the Bible here says that our words should be words that fruit, it's like the law of sowing and reaping. It should come back and enter into our soul and into our heart. And our words, they should come back to us and satisfy us. And say, "Man, you know, I'm sowing something that is coming back to me, and it's wonderful. It's good. It's pleasant." You know, sometimes we've probably heard, I'm sure all of us have heard that saying that we will eat our words. Words are either, again, here in this context, we could look at them as being either healthy or junk food. Our words are going to come back, and they are going to be either health to our navel, or they're going to be junk food that's going to ruin or destroy us, or be bitter or sour in our stomachs. And the Bible says that when we speak and the words of our mouths, they should be not only satisfying to those that we're speaking them to, but also when they come back and when we reap what we've sown, we should be satisfied. The Bible says this, that the words of a man's mouth are as deep waters. And again, this is talking about the power of our words. The Bible also says that, again, they should be, the words of our mouth should be the wellspring of wisdom. The first thing I want us to look at here is death. The Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. You know, when we think about the tongue, probably not too many of us have ever considered it to be a weapon. The Bible says that it is a weapon. You know that tongue that's in our mouth, the Bible says that it is a deadly weapon. It is as deadly as a shotgun or a semi-truck driving at 100 miles an hour or anything else. The Bible says that that in our tongue is the power of death. Another saying that people have probably heard, when I was a kid, I remember always hearing it, my mom saying it and other people saying it, that sticks and stones will break our bones, but what? Finish it. Words will never hurt you. That is about the biggest lie that anyone has ever told in their life. I would much rather be hit by sticks and stones sometimes than the words of people. And I just pray that we're not the ones throwing the words that are hurting people. But the Bible here says that in that little member, that little tongue, the mouth, the lips, in that little place where our words are formed and our words are given out, that has the power of death. And we need to be careful what we say. There was a guy, he was working in a store. In a produce store, well, a big supermarket, and he was working in the produce section, and this little old lady comes up to him and says, "Listen, sir, I would like to know if it's possible to buy a half a head of lettuce." And the guy looked at this lady and he says, no, he says, "God made whole heads of lettuce and we only sell them that way." And she said, "Listen, I've been shopping here for 45 years. Doesn't that give me the right to buy a half a head of lettuce? I just need a half a head. I don't need the whole head." And he said, "Listen, I don't think we can do it, but I'll go ask the manager. Would that satisfy you?" And she said, "Yeah, that would be all right." So off he goes. He marches to the front of the store, and he finds the manager, and he goes up to him. He said, "This half-wit, half-brained old lady, back at the, she wants to try to sell a half a head. Lettuce." And all of a sudden you realize there's something going on. He looks behind him, and guess who was right there? Standing right behind him. And then he said to his manager, "And this lady, she wants to buy the other half." Well, a little while later, the manager comes up to the guy and he says, "I gotta say, that was talking about thinking on your feet, that was about the best, you know, the example I've ever seen of anybody just being able to think on their feet like that. That was wonderful. Where'd you learn that?" And he says, "Well," he says, I grew up in Ottawa. You know, that's where I grew up. And, you know, in Ottawa, I mean, we learn things like that. And, you know, Ottawa," he says, "it's known for two things. It's known for its good hockey teams, and it's known for its ugly women." Well, when he said that, the manager's face turned a little bit red. And he says, "Did you know my wife's from Ottawa?" The guy said, "Which hockey team did she play for?" Not all of us are that quick, amen? James chapter 3 and verse 5, the Bible says, listen to these verses. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. But look at this. But how great a matter a little fire kindleth. That little tiny member can, again, it can start a huge blaze and fire. And in verse 6, the Bible says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. And so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature. And I want you to think about this for a minute. The Bible does not use hell as an analogy very often. You know, when we were kids, you know, we weren't allowed to say that as just a curse word or in part of our speech because of the seriousness of hell. And the Bible doesn't use it as an analogy very often. Yet the Bible here says this. It says, and it sets on fire of hell. It compares the destructive power of our tongue to hell. And that's a pretty serious thing. The Bible also says that we can use our tongue or our lips for life. Matthew, I mentioned this earlier, Matthew chapter 12 and verse 37, the Bible says this, that by our words we will be condemned, and by our words we shall be justified. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You know, when we think about this idea of life being part of the power here, as it says, the power of the tongue. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 23 says, whosoever keepeth his mouth and his tongue, look at this, keepeth his soul from troubles. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, the Bible says, for he that will love life, look at this, love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Listen, if you want to have a wonderful, loving life, again, that satisfaction of the belly, the Bible says here that we're to sow with our lips seeds of kindness. The Bible talks about that increase, and with the increase of his lips he shall be filled. And this is the same idea as our bellies being satisfied with the fruit of our mouth. It's the same thing. It's expressed in different ways here, but it's alluding to, again, the sowing of the seeds in the earth and the increase of them. As a man sows, so does he reap. And he will enjoy the fruits of his labor, but not only will he enjoy the fruits of his labor, he will enjoy the fruits of his words, according to how we have sown with our lips. We are responsible for the harvest. And if we are kind or unkind and harsh and critical, and if that is what we're known as, is being quick to speak and quick to slander and quick to criticize and all of these things, you know, people, is it really fun being around negative people all the time? It's not. Because the negativity rubs off on you. And when you're negative, if you've got a negative charge, if you've got a negative spirit, I mean, I think this, the word itself says it all, negative. You're not going to be filled with joy. Listen, the nicest I again, I've said this before. If you are having a problem with somebody, pray for them. If somebody's bugging you, pray for them. If you don't like somebody, their personality just rubs you the wrong way, pray for them. And you'll say, well, that'll change them. No, it'll change you. Well, if you don't like something, instead of being negative, be positive. Find something positive. Now, I don't care who you are. I don't care where you came from. There's something positive to be found in any situation. Amen? Or with anybody. Or with any person. And so the idea again here is that we are going to reap what we sow, and we are going to eat all of our words. Every single one of them. When it comes to resolutions as well, I've mentioned resolutions, and some people say resolutions are meant to be broken. I was reminded as I was putting this message together of about 15 years ago. I think it was about 15 years ago. Bell Canada was offering 6 months of high-speed internet. I had the old dial-up. And they were offering 6 months of free, or not free, discounted, extremely discounted high-speed internet. So I said, well, yeah, let's do it. Why not? It's only like $20 or something. So I told them, yeah, I'm going to do this. So they sent me out. I called them on the phone, signed up with it, and they sent me out the kit, with the router and all the little plugins for the phones and all the different things, instructions. And so I set it all up. And for 6 months, we had high-speed internet for 20-something bucks a month, which was about what I was paying for dial-up. And so the whole time, I was planning, as the good Baptist that I am, I was planning, because after the 6 months it was going to be like $60. And I was planning to send the router back and to cancel the high speed service. But I thought, for 6 months, why not? So the 6 months came and went, and I called up Bell and I said, Bell, I would like to cancel my internet. And they said, because they asked me why. I said, because my 6 months trial period is over and it's going to bump up to $60-something and I can't afford that. And, whatever else, I just don't want it anymore. I'm going to go back to dial-up. And so they said, all right, what we're going to do is we're going to send you out, a package in a mail, and it's going to be a flattened out box in a sleeve, and you open the box, put everything in there, put it back in the sleeve, seal it. It's all stamped, ready to go. Just put it back in the mail. We will send you one of those as soon as it comes. Put everything in there. As soon as we get that back, you will cancel your service and all that. So I said, okay, fine. So I waited and I waited and I waited and waited and waited. And guess what I didn't get? I didn't get a package from Bell. And then one day I'm on my dial-up internet. I'm looking at my credit card statement online, and Bell Canada charged me $450 for the router that I didn't send back to them. So I got on the phone, and I was hot under the collar. I called them up, and they keep all of the records of previous conversations, so they know what all the things that were said in the previous conversation. So I called them up and I said, why is there a $450 charge on my credit card? And they said, well, you canceled your service and you didn't send the router back. And so we charge you $450 for the router. And I said, I didn't send the router back because you didn't send me the package to send it back in. Oh, let me check into that for a second. So they go, I don't know what they were doing, checking the computer, checking the previous conversations, and then they came back and said, you know what, you're absolutely right. I see here in our computer that the package was never sent to you. And I says, good, I want that $450 put back in my credit card right now. And they said, no, we can't do that. And I said, it was your mistake. You just admitted that. And they said, yes, we know it was our mistake, but it's been over a month and a half. And that's our policy. It automatically gets charged and nothing I can do about it. And I said, I want the, you send me the package, put the $450 back on my credit card. And they would not. They absolutely refused. They said, we will not put that money back until we get the router. So I just bit my tongue and I says, you know what? You send the package. Make sure you send it this time, please, before I get another $450 charge. I send the package out. And I told that person, and I remember it like it was yesterday. I said to that person, I said, I want you to know this right now that I will never, ever use Bell Canada services again, ever. And I said, you've just lost me. Your mistake, it was your mistake, and you're charging me for your mistake. And they, well, nothing we can do about blah, blah, blah. And I said, okay, well, I'm not buying it anymore. Well, a couple years ago, we moved out here to the country. And we were paying $150 with Rogers for our internet. And I was like, $150. And then somebody tells us that, listen, they've got a really good deal. They're trying to get, you know, high-speed internet in the country. And you can get the same package for $60. And I said, man, that sounds like a good deal. Who's it with? Bell. I wanted to go back in time and say, I will never, ever, ever, ever again use Bell Canada unless you're $80 cheaper a month. Oh, what do I do? I vowed I would never use Bell again. But you see, I'm Baptist and I'm Scottish and I could swallow my pride. Amen? So I got $60 Bell internet. Amen? And everybody would say, you know what, preacher, that's probably the best thing to do. And I think it is anyways. If you can save $80, just swallow your pride and go with Bell or whoever offended you. And I don't know why I said that other than to say that we are going to be accountable by to our words, right? And we need to be careful. And again, I'm not going to say don't make a resolution like that because you're just going to break it. Well, resolutions are all right. Amen. I'm going to close this morning with a resolution of Jonathan Edwards. And this was from the works of Jonathan Edwards in Volume 1. And he said, being sensible that I am unable to do anything without God's help, he said, I do humbly entreat him by his grace to enable me to keep these resolutions so far as they are agreeable to his will. For Christ's sake, I will remember to read over these resolutions once a week. Resolve that I will do whatever I think to be most to the glory of God and to my own good profit and pleasure in the whole of my duration without any consideration of time, whether now nor never so many myriads of ages hence. Resolve to do whatever I think to be my duty and most for the good and advantage of mankind in general. He says, resolved never to lose one moment of time, but to improve in the most profitable way that I possibly can. Resolved to live with all my might while I do live. Resolved never to do anything which I should be afraid to do if I were at my last hour of life. Resolved never to do anything out of revenge. Resolved never to speak evil to anyone or of anyone so that I shall tend to his dishonor more or less upon no account except for some real good. Resolved to study the scriptures so steadily, consistently, and frequently as that I may find and plainly perceive myself to grow in the knowledge of the same. Resolved never to count that a prayer, nor to let the past as a prayer, nor that as a petition of a prayer, which is so made, I cannot hope that God will answer it, nor that as a confession, which I cannot hope God will accept. Resolved to ask myself at the end of every day, week, month, and year, wherein I could possibly in any respect have done better. Resolved never to give over, nor in the least to slacken my fight with the corruptions, however unsuccessful I may be. resolve after afflictions to inquire what I am the better for them. What good have I gotten by them, and what I might have gotten by them. Resolved always to do that which I shall wish I had done when I see others do it. Let there be something of benevolence in all that I speak. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your instruction on our tongues and on our words. And Lord, we truly understand, I hope we understand the power of the tongue. Life and death are in the power of it. Life, by acknowledging Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and giving words of life to people and those around us, God help us for the glory of God. Before it's too late, before our epitaph is written, to hold our tongue. So Father, would you be honored and glorified? We'll thank you and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together as we have a song of invitation.